Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
Runway, Pisa.
The right way. Soul Shaker. be a long, long journey. It's gonna be an uphill climb. It's gonna be a tough fight. It's gonna be some lonely nights. But I'm ready to carry on. So glad the worst is over. I can start living now. Ooh, I feel like I can do anything. And finally, I'm not afraid to breathe. Anything you say to me.
America, what's going on? Welcome to my show, the Sister for Real show. Hi, America. Hi, everybody in the chat rooms, everybody that's on the phone lines. Yes, we're here with the Barbara Walters of the Ballroom Community and Tins and Chops, and we're going to be interviewing, all of us, we're going to be interviewing the pioneer icon, Tony Revlar, the fathers of all fathers, the grandfathers of all grandfathers. That was so inappropriate. The grandfathers of all grandfathers. We're going to have him on our show, and we are all going to be able to get very detailed and get some detailed information and stuff about his life and where he's been and where he come from and where he's looking to go, basically his journey. You know, always I have a couple of announcements of y'all shows that we have to look forward to. I was just recently hit up on Facebook from Housing Work. Housing Work is a community that offers so many different services for people who are infected or who are trying not to be infected with the HIV virus. So they have asked to come on my show and to speak to the whole community about things that we can do and things that we shouldn't do that can help us and that can bring us to a different place in our life. So everyone definitely look forward to that interview. Well, that interview with that that agent, that advocacy agency, and I'll be having other additional agencies on that night as well. You know how the show goes. I will interview the pioneer, and after in the interview, you that are on the phone line, if you like any questions, comments, or statements, you definitely can press 1. I don't want belligerent questions. I don't want shade. If you want to know something and you need to know something from the heart or just for your journey and for something that you can take along with you in your life, you definitely can press 1, and he will give you the real answer or his experience that may help you along the way. So everybody that's on the phone lines, if you have any questions and stuff, you just press 1 whenever that time comes. You know, we go into a commercial break, and when I come back on the phone line, I will have the pioneer, Tony Revlar, on the phone. So let's go into my commercials, and we can move forward. Thank you.
The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Ballroom Coalition present the second annual Mini Ball Deluxe Conference. Know Your Status. Saturday, December 10th, 2011 at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The ball will start and end on time. Free HIV testing, door prizes, and raffles.
Cost for the function.
Commentated by the icons Jay Blonick and Sierra Ebony. Beats by the legendary Vonna Lore.
Know Your Status.
Categories include Mini Grand Prize number 1, Sex Siren. Mini Grand Prize 2, Legendary Open to All. Grand Prize number 1,
$500.
Runway, open to all. Grand Prize number 2, $500. Open to all performance. Special category, the house with the most people tested.
For more information, please call Keith Ebony Holt at 443-690-5044. Now you're
sad. The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Ballroom Coalition present the second annual Mini Ball Deluxe Conference. Know Your Status. Saturday, December 10th, 2011 at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201.
Know Your Status.
Okay, I guess that we're back. That's one of the first commercials of the evening. Of course, there are lots of more that will go on throughout the process of this whole conversation. So without any further ado, we're going to move right along because it's so long, the interview that I have with a long lot of questions, and it's going to be very interesting. So you leaders and you mothers and fathers and leaders of houses, definitely go get your children. And if the children are listening, go get your mother and go get your father and have them come up on this phone line to hear what they should have all known that goes on in their life. So basically, this is his story. Can we play the pioneer song, Tony Revlon?
I speak prosperity, and I speak health.
Without any further ado, I want to bring to the radio station in my exclusive interview the pioneer icon, my grandfather, you guys' father, the pioneer Tony Revlon. Grandpa, are you there?
Yes.
Hey. How are you? I am pretty upset with the switchboard. Let me go in before I start that. I put that song for you because it was a meaning to it. And the part that was about to start, it was cut off. That was very upsetting for me. So I'm going to have that song played and back in the midst of it because I needed you people to understand where he came from. And thank you.
I speak prosperity and I speak health. That I wouldn't compromise, although I was going through, and I spoke.
gifts in your hard time. Don't worry. Attack your character. Attack your integrity. Don't worry. No, no. Touch your neighbor. Encourage the person next to you. Tell them I got it. Tell them I got it. I can say it. Till you will. Say it. Because I got it. Through my crisis. Difficulty. Through my hard time. I found favor. Favor. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
I'll be happy to tell you why.
God favors me.
No longer do I cry when fake friends say goodbye.
God favors me.
Some days the well was dry, but I had the same reply.
God favors me.
Evil wants to bring me down inside.
Hey, God.
But God says again.
Everybody, one more time, everybody, lift your voice all over this world and say, God favors me.
God favors me.
Introducing the fabulous pioneer, man, show-stopping person, the icon of the century for me, the legendary Tony Revlon. Hi, Grandpa. How are you?
Hey.
Okay, I had that song, and to that people, y'all thought that was song. That song was very intimate for you. You did say another song, but for me and everything that I was writing, that was a very intimate song, and I was looking for one, but God kept saying to play that song for you, so that's what I play. I hope everybody got the message out of it, because you have truly been favored over the years of your life. Like, your story is so long. I still am not finished the questions that I have for you, because it's that long. Your life, the time you've spent in this ballroom, your personal life, your family life, just some of the struggles that you have been through, it has been a long time. You, and along with a few others, are stewing and stuff, y'all still here making a difference, and I appreciate you, and I thank you very, very much for coming up here doing this show with all the questions I'm going to ask you. I greatly appreciate that. So thank you very much for coming to the show. Like I said to everybody, this is the Pioneer Tony Revlon, and I decided for myself to call them pioneers now, because it's just a bit much with the icons and the legends. So this will be one of the pioneers, or one of the last pioneers, that is an icon for me. So no one take offense to that. But let's go into your interview, Grandpa. Tony, I want to talk a little bit about where was you born at? Yeah, where was you born? Where exactly were you born? Where was you born in? What borough and what state was you born in?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. Did you live in a house with both parents?
No. I lived in an apartment. Wow. You right straight to it.
Yes. I'm going to the thing because it's so long. I got so much. Go ahead. I need to go straight to that part.
I lived in an apartment with my mother and my brothers and sisters.
How many siblings did you have?
I have 7 brothers and I have 4 sisters. That's from my mom's. And from my father, which I am the only one that have a different father, I have 7 sisters on my dad's side.
Oh, okay. So did all your 7 sisters and brothers live in the house with you and your mom? I mean, the apartment with you and your mom?
12 of us.
in one apartment.
Yeah.
Black people. I know that's right. And what school did y'all all attend to? Or what school did you attend to? Did y'all all go to the same school?
Yeah, I went to PS 298. From there, I went to junior high school to Marcus, which is 263. I graduated from junior high school. Then I went to East New York Avenue. That's where I lived. I went to East New York High. From East New York High, I went to Erasmus. Then from Erasmus, I went to South Shore High School, and I graduated from South Shore High School, graduated 6 months early. Then I went to Genesee Community College, which was my had an associate's degree in accounting. Now, for me going to three different high schools, I went to East New York High School first, which was an all-boys school then. I didn't like it, so I'll tell you from there. Well, that school there was very vocational, so I had a shop class. I wanted to get out of that school because I did not like it because I wasn't gay then. So I did something there that got me transferred from East New York High School to Erasmus Hall. And what I did in East New York High School, I set the shop class on fire. They transferred me out of there, and they transferred me to Erasmus Hall, which was, everyone knows where Erasmus Hall is, where Fame and all that was filmed at. So when I went to Erasmus Hall, my first class was a dancing class. And when I walked in the dancing class, it was nothing but girls in there. So I didn't like that. So my zone school was South Shore, and that was from Howard Housing Project. So I went to South Shore High School, graduated there 6 months early.
Oh, okay. So when your whole time you being in high school, you had not yet discovered that you were gay?
No, I don't know.
So okay, so around what time did that discovery? So at that, all right. So wait. So while you were in Scottsdale, you basically went with women. You dated females throughout your whole education.
My whole public school, junior high school, high school, and first year of college.
Okay, so you graduated from college. At what time did you realize that you had a thing for guys?
I came back home on a spring break, which was my best friend was named Keith White. They lived on the third floor. When I came home, he took me to the Village. I got off the A train. We walked down. We had walked down to the Village, and when I got halfway to the pier, I saw all these gay people, and I just ran back to the train station. And I ran back to the train station, got on the A train, and I went back home. Then I came, and then I went back to school once the spring break was up, and then I came back. And when I came back, I went back downstairs, which was third floor, my best friend's house, and in college, I had sex with one of my roommates, and when I came back, I went straight to the Village with my best friend.
So you had your first encounter in college with a male?
Correct.
Before you go that far, so when your younger high school, you mean public school, middle school, and high school, did you when you were messing with these women, did you have any kids in that time, or did?
All together, I have two boys and I have one girl. My middle child, which is I think a lot of people know him. He's gay. His name is Kevin. My oldest son name is Junior. He's named after me. Then come Kevin, and then come Angie.
You have three kids: two boys and one girl.
Correct.
Do you have, does the tree get any bigger? Do you have any grandkids after that?
Yeah, my oldest son have three children. My daughter have one. My oldest son have a set of twins, which is named right after me. They both got, one have my first name, the other one have my middle name. And my oldest granddaughter, her name is Trisha. And my youngest grandson name is Audrey.
Oh, okay. And do your oldest grand... You're not a great-grandfather yet, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, my oldest grand, she's like 5 years old.
Oh, okay. She's just 5 years old. Okay. So was all your kids in choir? Did you get all your kids while you were in your before you got to college, or did you inquire any while after you were in college?
I got them. They all won. They all like a year. I got them in high school at my first year of college, and all three of them is my different moms. All three of them.
Okay. So do they have the same mother?
No, I just said all three of them, but.
All of them are through different mothers. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, so you was a Rolling Stone when you was in high school. You must have been a daddy then. You're still a daddy now, but you must have been doing your thing. So when that was basically your friend, your best friend that lived on the third floor, was that your first gay friend?
Yeah. My honestly, you asked me that because before I turned gay, I used to like really not like gay people. So I used to rob them, and my best friend was gay, but didn't nobody know that he was gay because being gay back inside the projects would have been hard in school and all that. But he was gay, so I was close to him.
So So after you went to college and you had your first encounter and you came back for spring break and you went to the village, what was one of the gay people you met there? Did you meet anybody when you went down to the village? Do you know who the people were?
The first person I met was Ira.
Ira Aphrodite,
which was my best friend lover.
Oh, the one that lived on the third floor. What was his name?
Keith.
Oh, okay. So you met Ira. So you in the you going to the village? What type of club? Tell us a little bit about that time when you was coming out. If you could give me that year that you ventured out to the village and you met Ira.
Wow. Okay. It had to be. The first club I went to was Club 43. Which was on 43rd Street. It was me and Ira, and this night I would never forget because of the fact when I went to the club, I got into a big problem with a bunch of gay people, which was they was in the House of Openness with Junior and all of them. But me being me, I didn't back down, and Ira jumped in front of me and said that wasn't nobody going to touch me. Then I jumped in front of Ira, and then it wasn't no fight or anything. You know, I guess they knew right then that I was no punk. You know, the whole club, Oz Angle, Loud Nicole, was the whole club after me. But
how did you feel? Because this was your first club, so was you scared of all them, you know, gay people?
No, I wasn't scared of the gay people because I have always been a stern person, so... Me coming from the projects, me having brothers, me having a bunch of uncles and stuff, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know, I didn't back down.
Oh, okay. So now you said, what club was that again? I'm sorry, Midtown 20 to 43?
Yeah.
And was you around for the club? When I did Junior and his interview, they talked about the Jewel's Box and the upstairs and downstairs staircase. Did you get to experience any of that?
No, I didn't experience that. I experienced tracks. I experienced the Garage, Better Days, what else? The Club of Brooklyn. My best club was Better Days, though. I just love that club.
Yeah, everybody. I hear a lot of stuff about Better Days. I hear lots of stories about that. So now you go into the club, start in the club scene, and you meet in these different people. How was you introduced to the ballroom scene?
Okay, the way I was introduced to the ballroom scene was with Ira. Me and Ira was really, really close. And he had told me that he wanted me to join the House of Ebony, and I didn't know nothing about no houses or anything. He said that he wanted me to walk realness. Well, I went to, I don't remember who Baller was at the Elks Lodge. I do remember me having on a gray sweatsuit, and I walked realness. I got my tens, but I didn't win. I think it was somebody else won. And then we left there, and I think that was the last ball had at the Elks Lodge. You know, so I did experience the Elks Lodge. And then from there, I started walking Best Dressed Men because I was kind of like naive to the category. I only saw back then Best Dressed Man was just a man category, and then the other categories was Butch Queens. And when I was so naive, when I was reading the categories, the only thing that I saw was Queen, and I never put myself in that category as being a Butch Queen. I always put myself as being a gay man. So I started walking Best Dressed Man. You know, and I turned Best Dressed Man out for many, like, I think, like, 2 years. And then Pepper La Beja.
Okay, wait a second. So is it safe to say that that was your first grand prize then?
Yeah, Best Dressed Man.
Best Dressed Man.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the question. Your first grand prize. Okay, so go ahead. So Pepper La Beja.
Then Pepper La Beja came up to me. Was Pepper and I think it was Richard told me to walk Realness, and I was telling them that I'm not going to walk Realness because of the fact of I'm not a queen. And then Pepper and Richard explained everything to me about categories by being Butch Queen, the Femme Queens, and all that. And then I started walking Realness, and I won that for years, many, many years.
Okay, so I guess the two categories that you were really phenomenal at the time was Best Dressed Man and Realness.
Yeah.
Realness. And how long was you in the House of Ebony?
Wow, I was in the House of Ebony until the House of Revlon opened. I have always believed in being a lawyer. I was in the House of Ebony. It was only me and Ira Walker. It was no other Ebony's Walker. It was only me and Ira, and we was representing the House of Ebony. It was Tony there, but I think Tony went to the House of Openness, I think Tony went to the House of Openness, but it was only me and Ira Walker, or it was no Ebony's Walker there.
So how did the whole House of Revlon and stuff come about? I mean, I interviewed her in Stewart interview, but for you, how did the whole House of Revlon thing come about?
Okay, after I met Ira, I met Chris, Stewart, Jeffrey, and all of us was really close. Danielle, all of us was real close, but we was all in different houses. Exactly what Stewart said happened, but when the only thing he left out was when they asked me the first time, I said no. Second time I said no. The third time I said no also, because I didn't want to be inside nobody else's house but the house of Ebony. Then Chris Revlon, which is my best friend and Stuart's best friend, he came to me one night and Better Days and said, Tony, we really, really need you to open up this house, that the House of Revlon is not going to open up until you say yes. Stuart wants you, and Danielle wants you, Jeffrey wants you, and I said yes. And we opened up at that Jersey Awards Ball.
Oh, so when that time come, who were some of the people that you idolized in the ballroom scene from your time and from being in from your younger days to the point of you becoming a Revlon, the father of the House of Revlon?
Okay, I will have to say Stuart, I will say Richard, I will say Pepper, I will have to say Tony, I have to say Larry. To really make a long story short, my idols was the mothers and fathers.
The mothers and fathers. Okay. And now you started the House of Revlon, and at that time are you still walking Best Dressed Man and Realness?
Yeah, I was still walking, and I also was walking Fred and Iway. I also, believe it or not, was walking Precision Haircut. That's when I had hair. But I used to always wanted to walk Runway. We had a meeting, and I was telling Stuart, Danielle, and Jeffrey and them that I wanted to walk Runway. And they told me I couldn't because of the fact of me being a father, that they didn't want me to walk Runway because it's feminine, you know, the way you walk and all that. But then I went home. It was one person that always stood by my side no matter what, which was Garnett. So I came to, I think it was Ethan Ball. I came in. I had my garment bag. So I went to Garnett And I said, I tapped on that on her shoulder. I said, come here for a minute. She came in. She said, what? I said, I'm walking one way. She said, no, you know that. None of them want you to walk. I said, well, Garnett, I got this. I bet you I got this. So Garnett said, all right, come on. I had on a white suit, and she did my turban. I walked out with my back turned. I did my hand movements. I turned around. The first person that stood up was Stuart, and the whole ballroom stood up. And then I won midgets that night.
So, all right, because I've known from my own time, with this name for the people that are in the listeners, that what are the categories you are legendary for?
So I'm legendary for best dressed man. I'm legendary for realness. I'm legendary for runway. I have, I walked all the way. I only walked that leg 4 times. I have walk labels. I'm legendary for grand prize overall. There's not one grand prize overall that I have walked that I have not won. Team runway. I'm not gonna like just knock this off the code. I also came to a ball who set me up was Andre. You know, me and Andre was really like father and son. So Andre was walking Butch Green up in punts. So I came there, and Andre set me up, and me and Andre came out there for Butch Green up in punts. I will never forget that day. Daniel and Stuart cursed me out so bad. They cursed me out and said, you was not supposed to do that. That's for a father to do. And back then, fathers didn't do a lot of things, you know, because they were fathers, you know. But I'm the one that paved the way for fathers to do other things inside the ballroom scene. I am the first father that did other categories, like runway. If I felt like voguing, you know, I always wanted to vogue. And so it happened that Vogue was just a feminine way also. So I got home one night, and I was just in the mirror, and I just, everything that they did, I just made it real masculine. And that's where Benji Performance came from. I'm legendary for that. Then All American.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Wow, you're legendary for a lot of category. This is All in the House. Right now, you're here in the House of Revlon and everything. What year did you become the father of the House of Revlon?
Whoa, that was nice. The first day, it was 1989. It was 88 or 89. It was that November. The first day the house opened, I put the first father, and I was the only father.
For how long?
I was the only father. It was me and Danielle, and then they dethroned Danielle. Really keep it real. It was really Stuart run. It was Stuart running things, and we all went to a meeting, and then they dethroned Danielle. That did hurt me because me and Danielle was close also. But you know, me just being me, I mean, Stuart is Stuart, so I just stayed in the back. And then that's when Stuart came, mother, and I was father still. Then about I think Sue was mother for about 2 years, and then they wanted Danielle back. But the only person they knew that could have got Danielle back was Tony Revlon, and I went up to Show World, and then I got her back.
Okay, so wait now, as you, 1989 is a long time, so I'm not going to ask from 1989 to 2000, but just from 89 to the late 90s, what are some of the people you groomed and have brought to ballroom? So what are some of the grand prize people you have groomed and brought to the ballroom scene?
Wow. The first person I would have to say would have to be Jose. And that's the first person I brought inside this house was Jose. Nobody wanted him because he was, I guess, Puerto Rican. But I told him that he's good. Was Jose. They didn't want Letitia and Keisha either. At first, they did not want Letitia and Keisha either. The first person that gave Andre his label, like labels, was Tony. What else? Oof. Kaduma. He's in the House of Ebony. I think he's still there. That's my first, and that's my first gay son also. To really keep it real, I have always been the person that always helped people out. You know, if people don't have, I go get it. You know, and you're really skipping a lot of stuff inside my life that, you know, I'm going to open up to this gay scene, and no matter how I feel about how they treated me. But I have done a lot of things in my life for my family. You know, it was 12 of us living in a two-bedroom project apartment, you know, and I did whatever I had to do.
What project was that?
Howard
Project. That's it right there off of... Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So you had 12 brothers and sisters, and you took care of them then?
Yeah, we took care of each other. But, you know, I'm not going to get really into my family business, but I am... Like, I was the first one to graduate from high school. And I graduated from high school with perfect attendance, you know. The first one to graduate from college, you know. What else?
So, are you the oldest?
No.
Okay. No. So, you have oldest brothers and sisters?
Yeah, but I am the same person in my family that I am in the scene. People older than me will come for advice, and I'll take care of them, you know. That's just me.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, I'm going to keep it real. I come from a drug family, you know, drug and alcohol family. I don't want no one to think that it was goody two shoes for me. It wasn't. I came from a drug addict family, a lot of alcohol and all that. You know, as many nights that my family fought each other. You know, My mother went through a lot, you know. I've seen many things. I have taken drugs. My uncle's taken drugs, you know. But one thing I will say about my mother and my family, they never stole from us. We always had a meal on our table, no matter what. You know, and y'all might don't know about it, but we used to eat chicken backs and all that, you know.
Yeah, well, those are the cheapest things. You can take $5 and get a chicken back and some rice and stuff and have a real good dinner. I mean, Curtis teaching me something like that. So you come from this lifestyle. Now you have a whole new different family, and you are still raising your three children at the time. So you are the father of the House of Revlon, a major image in your own personal family life, and you are a biological father of three kids, two boys. And one girl. Okay, so at what time, at what point of your life, because there is a point in time where I know when I was young that you disappeared. At what point of in that time did you disappear, or did you go to jail, or what year was it that you left and no longer was there?
Okay, I used to work in a bank. The way I got my family and the way I got us out of the ghetto was I did some stuff inside the bank. You know, I took $180,000 from the bank, which no one knew. The banks didn't know. My mother didn't know. I had $180,000 inside my mom's apartment, you know, hidden. And then I came to my best cousin, which is Yvette, and I showed her the money. So my mother and them got upset, so I had to take the money back to the bank, which I did take it back to the bank. Not all of it, but I did take the money back. The branch manager, the president, wanted me to teach a class the way I did it, and I told them no. And that was federal. That was a federal charge. Then they gave me probation. They did give me probation for that. And then they, for 5 years, I couldn't work around a computer or anything like that.
And was there any, like back then, was, did you get a felony because that was a felony?
Yeah. I will say this to everybody, you know, we do things when we are young, and once we get older, we pay the price.
Right,
you know, because if I knew the things I knew now, I would not have done what I did back then. Because one felony will lead to another one. Two felonies will lead to another one. And once you start doing craft, you constantly keep doing it, you know. And
was it back then, was it easier? Was you a part of the boosting craft ring, or was you part of the
No, norm? No. I never stole from out of no store. I did other things. I did other things with my brain.
Okay.
Sit down and think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, what out of them times that you even did back and forth for that, what would you say? What was the longest rate and the longest time that you paid for that type of stuff?
I did 4 years. I did 4 years in a federal prison, and that's when my that's when the House of Revlon went their separate ways. That's when Stuart took them. You know, I'm not gonna talk about no corner or anything. You know, but. Before then, I don't want to skip anything in my life, you know. I left New York, you know, and, you know, I had a lover, you know, my first lover name was Douglas, which was from Jersey. My family didn't even know about me then, you know, but I did have a lover. But once I broke up with my lover, I brought my family and told my family I was gay. And when I came home, all my brothers and uncles and cousins, male cousins and all of them, was at my house, and it was a big thing there. And then I met Eric, and everybody know Eric, which is Eric Allure, you know, and that's the person I love. I love him then, and I love him now. That's where I left New York. I left New York with Eric, and I never returned back to New York.
How long was you and Eric together, and where did y'all go?
To D.C., his house.
Oh, he lived in D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what year was that when you left that? I don't recall that little part there. So Eric was the lover, and how long did you go the love of your life, and how long were you with him?
I was with him. I guess he listened. I guess Eric helped to come because I don't remember. I think about a year or two. But me and Eric have went through a whole lot. You know, we went through a whole lot because I love you. You know, Eric was doing his thing, and I was doing my thing. You know, but one thing I would say about him, he had been my friend from then, and he's my friend right now, and that's one of my best friends.
Hey, man, that's what's up. So you moved to D.C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you moved, and what year did you don't remember? You said you don't remember that year, but how was it? Was you a phenomenal person in their ballroom scene, or was you involved there? How long did you stay there?
I stayed there until I got locked up.
Okay,
I got locked up in D.C.
So they finally caught up with you then?
Yeah, they caught up with me in D.C. The first time I ever got locked up, it was not in New York. It was in D.C.
Oh, okay. So you get locked up, and that's when you did the 4 year stretch.
Yeah, because I got locked up for doing craft, and then I was already on probation, so I had violated my probation, and I had to do time there.
Okay, so what could you say to our younger youth about that before we go into our commercial breaks? And you guys that are on the phone line, this is a long interview. We haven't begun to go into the whole middle and the ending, the sector part, and to now like of his lifestyle. So you're on the phone line. If you want to be able to say something, you get ready to press 1 after my last question, and we're going to go into a commercial break and pay some bills, and we'll get back in there. But my question is to you, Tony. What is the – what you could say from that short period of time about Kraft and going to jail for 4 years and maintaining that? What is some advice you can give to the younger youth that are listening about that type of activity and that has to deal with that or are dealing with being indicted or going to jail?
Okay, Brad, I would say to the new generation, if you haven't done it, don't do it. Okay? Because it's not worth it. And I did it for, we do things for the ballroom scene, you know, and that's what I did it for. The labels, to make sure that my house stands still, you know. And another thing I would tell the people that got felonies and all that. It's very hard out here, but one thing I would say, you don't give up. You keep going and you keep going because a door is going to open up.
That's amazing. We have to go to my break now, but that's amazing because I want to just add something. I've been sitting here listening to you saying that I didn't know a lot of this stuff when you're talking about your felonies and stuff, but that kind of, this is why I think God had that favor me, because up recently you've been managers and stuff of places, so you definitely have to tell us in debt how you just end up fixing all these just different things. We're going to go to a commercial break, everybody, and we are here with the pioneer icon, Tony Revlon. If you're on the phone lines, you have a question, comment, or just to pay a little homage, feel free to press one because we need to move along. Commercial.
The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Boardroom Coalition present the second annual Mini Ball Deluxe Conference. Know Your Status, Saturday, December 10th, 2011, at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The ball will start and end on time. Free HIV testing, door prizes, and raffles.
Cost for the function.
Free. Commentated by the icon Jay Blonick and Sierra Ebony. Beats by the legendary Von Allure. Know Your Status.
Categories include Mini Grand Prize number 1, Sex Siren. Mini Grand Prize 2, Legendary Open to All. Grand Prize number 1,
$500.
Runway, open to all. Grand Prize number 2, $500. Open to all performance. Special category, the house with the most people checking.
For more information, please call Keith Ebony Holt at 443-690-5044. Now you're back.
The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Boardroom Coalition present the second annual Mini Ball Deluxe Conference. Know Your Status. Saturday, December 10th, 2011, at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201.
Know Your Status.
They didn't want me to vote. They want me to do nothing but be masculine.
Hello, we're back here on my show. This is Nicole. We're back on the Sister to Sister for Real show, and we are interviewing today, yes, we, the community, we are interviewing today the pioneer icon, Tony Revlon, the fathers of all fathers. He's here today to tell us our story, then, now, his story, then, now, and today. Well, last question we left off was you gave advice to the young youth about them just not involving themselves in any type of craft activity if they have not. It doesn't pay off in the end. So I'm going to go, if anybody's on the phone line and you have any, it's 1207, if you have any questions or statements or comments or something that you guys think that I've forgotten and you would like to come and ask the pioneer icon, feel free definitely to press 1 and you'll be brought up on the line with us. Okay, Tony, so you say you did the 4 years. So when you leave, you come out of federal prison, I mean, tell us something about your experience. What did you learn in doing a 4-year stretch, being that's the longest you've like been in the jail? What did you learn from?
I was in D.C. I'm going to keep it real. D.C. jail is very, you know, it's out, it's outgoing, gay, and all that. And I will have to say, back then, the best time of my life was in jail. You know, I have fun. You know, I ain't even gonna lie. But one thing about jail back then, the way I am, the masculine part of me, could not be in D.C. jail like that. You had to be one or the other. You had to be gay. You had to be straight.
Mm.
And everyone know how stern I am and all that. But in jail, I had to, you know, I broke down. So I was like a totally different side of me, you know, in jail.
So you know, would you say you were more
feminine
with the words and stuff that you used and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, real talk. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I was real feminine in jail. My first night there, I did a lot of stuff I should not have done because I didn't know back then that whoever you had at first, that's who you're supposed to deal with. But you know, I did other things, and the next day it was like seven guys at my cell with shanks and stuff. So the CO, so the CO had they had to transfer me out of that cell, and then put me to another dorm.
Oh, DC then, was no skip.
And then the first visit I got was Garnett. I know everybody's laughing, the people that know me, you know, but Garnett came to visit me first. One, that's why I said she always stood by my side. She came to visit me. Garnett was kind of shocked because when I came out in the visit room, I had my shirt tied up. I had this little thing, a wrap around my head, you know. So, and Garnett was like speechless, but, you know.
So did you do the whole 4 years there in D.C.?
No.
Okay.
I went to feds to two different fed camps. You know, I had fun there too. You know, I mean, my family came to visit me every time I had a visit. You know, I came home. I came home and I went back to Brooklyn. I only went there for 2 days, and my best friend Chris, he came and got me. And then I moved to Philly.
What was your experience like? That's a question. When I was writing up my questions, I wanted to know that. I do know about Baltimore. I didn't want to skip. What was your? So you did participate in the Philly ballroom scene and in the Philly lifestyle.
Yeah, so I put Philly. I did it in D.C. I did it in Texas. You know, real talk, I was a steward, you know.
So what was it like for you in Philadelphia, and what was their ballroom scene at the time like?
Honestly, to keep it real, the ballroom scene was still the same because of the fact that you had Stewart, you had the House of Everon going to Philly, you know. We had Ralphio, you had Avernian, you know. Taffy, you had Lisa there, you know, and back then we was all friends. We probably compete against each other, but we all, like, the Revlons would go over to Lisa House, which was the House of Excellence. We would hang out with the Excellence. We would hang out with the Jadus. The Boys come, and whatever house would win. It was no fighting, like fighting each other like that because we was all friends.
Okay. So I had a question for you. I had a question for Stuart, and I had one for you, and I don't know if I had kind of missed that part. But I want to talk about a little bit for you now that, you know, you were the father of the father and a very feared man in the ballroom scene, even when I came along. Is those rumors actually true that I was told when I was a child about, you know, lots of gold chains and brothers and you shutting down the ballroom and things not it being shade to the House of Revlon and the things that would happen to the people or the ballroom scene, that in particular ball? Are those rumors, and is there any truth to those rumors?
It's true to all of them. You know, it's one thing that anybody that know me, if I get into something I really can't handle, I call my brothers because then my brothers is the ones that's going to stand by my side to the end. Gay people sometimes is not going to do that, you know. But I will say the House of Revlon, we was a family. You fought one. You fought all of us.
What was one, I asked Stuart this, so what was one of those occasions, whether it had been at the Mark Ballroom, whether it was at, what was one of them real bad instances that you remember that you and your whole house shut the balls down?
And is it safe to say, wait before I go away, and is it safe to say that this balance had existed long before in the ballroom scene?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking you, right, which one of them that you can remember where you were a part of the House of Revlon shutting down the ballroom scene? In addition, is it safe to say that this stuff had been going along and been going on in ballroom scene for the longest of time now?
Yeah. That was going on before my time, I guess. You know, but I can't talk about my time that came before my time. I only can talk about my time. But I know for sure that when the House of the Revlons opened, I think and I feel that fights was more deeper. It was more worse with us. You know, because we all went all out. The worst fight, that, to my opinion, that I think it was in Tracks in D.C. with the Revlons, the Mugler's, and the House of Khan. I think that was the worst fight ever.
Ever, okay. And did y'all all make it out of there safe? I mean, well, you're here today, but at that time, did everybody make it out of there safe? I did hear about that myth to that room as well.
A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people got hurt on both sides. You know, a lot of people got hurt. And I will have to say that was going on for a very, very long time. The House of Revlon, the House of Khan, beefing went on for years.
Wow. And so when you was in Philly, how long was you there in Philadelphia? How long did you stay living there?
I was there for about a year and a half. I worked at Blue Cross, Blue Shell. This guy, his name was Ladaris. He fell for me, I fell for him, and then I moved to Texas. But then when I got to Texas, it wasn't what I expected. When I got there, I went to the club. His friends told him that he had to keep me inside because somebody's going to take me from him. So what he used to do was go to work, lock me in, come back, feed me my lunch and some other shit. And then I fought him. I beat his motherfucking ass. And then I got on a bus. And then that's when I went to Baltimore.
Okay, so did you never came back to New York City?
Once I left New York City with Eric, I never went back there.
Oh, wow, okay. So when you went to Baltimore City, was there a ballroom scene there?
Yeah, the ballroom scene was already there because before I got locked up, Stuart, the House of Revlon had already had a chapter there already.
Okay. So you went to Baltimore and you stayed. That's basically where you stayed at for the rest of the days.
I stayed there for a very, very, very long time. I did skip a little craft thing. It was on me and Eddie Ebony. That was one of my close friends too. He passed away. We got into some kind of craft concerning, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but it was some illegal stuff we did. It was helicopters and feds and all that was after us. We went there. We both got locked up. We both hit the newspaper inside D.C. To really keep it real, I have always been a stern person. I have never been a person that I don't care who you are, I'm going to be stern. It is what it is. But Eddie was a totally different person, so they splitted us up. Eddie had got raped in jail, you know. He got raped in jail, not by one guy, not by two. He got raped in jail by many a guys, you know, and what happened, he sent me a letter and told me his what's going on. So my thing of me being a friend, I tried to get where Eddie was at, you know, to try to help him out.
Uh-huh.
But they put me in lockdown, and then me and Eddie did get back together. And it's, I mean, because,
wow.
I mean, this part is really sad because me and Eddie was really close, and all the people that knew Eddie, his last days was with me, you know, and no one knows what that man, no one knows what that man went through inside jail. And you already know I'm very emotional, but
yeah.
That man there went through a whole lot in jail, and I seen everything that this man went through, you know. And me and Eddie was so close that me and him got into a cell together, and Eddie was a very pretty boy, you know, and a lot of guys wanted to fuck Eddie. And then Eddie told me, he woke me up one morning and said, "Tony, look." And he just, like, he opened his ass and all of this pus and all of this stuff came out. So I told Eddie, I said, "Eddie, you cannot have sex in this jail no more." You know, and then the next morning I took him to the hospital. I mean, there we signed up for him to see the doctor and all that. That night, Eddie came to me and said, "Tony, guess what I'm going to do?" I said, "What, Eddie?" He said, "I'm going to write the judge and tell the judge that I have HIV. I said, "Eddie, that's not going to work because they're going to ask for tests and all that." To make a long story short, Eddie hit the paper, the judge and all that. If anybody from back in the day remember, he hit the paper saying that the judge let an HIV inmate out.
It did work.
You know, no. Eddie came out that Thursday and he passed that Friday. So once that hit the paper, what happens to me now? Because I'm Eddie's friend, and me and him was close. So I dealt with a lot of stuff in that jail that's saying that this boy had AIDS and this and that, that I should have told people this, that I should have told them that. But I'm never going to say that man went through a lot in jail, a whole lot. So.
Wow. Okay, wow. Well, that leads me into the question about were you around and how did you feel about the HIV and AIDS epidemic that came and rocked the gay community and the ballroom community?
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think God blessed me. I really think God blessed me of being the father of the House of Revlon, because I really feel in my heart, and I really believe in my heart, that if I was not the father of the House of Revlon, I think that I would be dead also, just like everybody else inside my era. But by me being a father, taught me to be respectful inside the team and respecting myself. Because of the fact that I could have been doing parks, I never did no subway, I never did any of them things because of the fact I'm the father, I have children, and I want my children to always respect me, and they always did. You know, so I never got involved with none of that nasty stuff that everybody else did, you know. And a lot of my friends back then, me, Stuart, and Chris friends, are gone. And these are people back in the day that we knew the meaning of a friend.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't nothing like if me and Stuart beef, it was nothing like that Stuart would get to a club and talk about me or read me the other way. I mean, it was just friends. We knew the meaning of a friend back then. And a lot of our friends are dead. You know, a lot of our friends are dead. And me, Stuart, and Chris, you know, is still here. And me and Chris is close. Me and Stuart is close, you know. And that HIV/AIDS, it hit the scene really hard. Really, really hard. And I would say that it's better now, you know. A lot of people is protecting themselves and all of that. So that's a good thing there, you know. Wow. A lot of our friends are going through HIV, you know. I mean, it hit the scene really hard.
Oh wow.
And then you know, we talk about HIV, and I'm not gonna leave this out. My mother passed from that also, you know. And my mother passed from that when my mother was the doctor told her she had HIV. I was in jail. You know, I called home, and she got on the phone. She said, "I got something I'm going to tell you. I want you to tell your brothers and sisters." You know, she told me she had HIV. You know, and I had to deal with that in jail, and I beat myself many times in jail to say that I'm the one that's gay, you know. But God, you know, God gave it to her to give me another chance, and that's how I looked at it.
Wow, that's always been a very deep comment. Topic for me, and to know that you've known so many people from being out for such a long time that has walked around and that are walking around or that are no longer even here today because of this virus. So, of course, my always question after that is to tell our community, being that you've been here forever and you, God has favored you to still be on this line tonight to talk to us, to tell our gay community and our young community, what can they do to prevent this from happening to them? And for those who are sick, what should they do?
Okay, I'm going to say this, Nicole. A lot of people in this scene comes to me. I have took a lot of people to get their result, and I have sat down with a lot of people and my first thing to them is, do you want to live? They say, yes, Dad. So you know what? Beat it. Do not let it beat you. Take care of yourself. I have took them doctors. I have given them vitamins and all of that. You must be safe. No matter how much, then I will have to say this, because in this situation now, you get more people getting high than it was back then. So no matter if you high, no matter you drunk, protect yourself, yo. And that's some real talk. No matter if a person saying that, oh, I'm madly in love with you. Look, the way I live my life and a lot of people that I dealt with, to tell you, and a lot of people that are my gay children, my children, I live my life like this. I am the only one that don't have it. The whole world got it, and they trying to give it to me. Once you put that in your head, you're gonna always protect yourself.
Mm.
You know, and that's the way I live my life. You know, everybody in this world is sick but Tony. So I have to protect myself at all times.
Okay. Well, that's a message. If you're on the phone line and you have a kind of statement or comment or something that you may want to add to this interview, you definitely can feel free to press 1 and we will bring you up on the line. I do want to be able to share the platform with the community. So if you're on the line and you have something you'd like to say, please press 1 and we definitely will be, the number will come and I'll get you up here on the line. Tony, so you say, all right, oh, wow, That just takes me there with that thing. Okay. What I want to ask you is that you went through all this different stuff and you've been to school, so you have education, and you went through all this up and stuff as far as drugs and losing of your friends and everything. But can you tell, because I want the community to know, how were you able to inquire and keep, like, these good jobs that you've always had in the scene?
Okay.
I mean, tell me about them jobs. Like, name some of the places that you were. I mean, I know some myself, but just for the community.
I was a manager of Blue Cross. I was a manager of White Castle. I was a manager of ADT. I was a manager of Burger King. I got promoted from Burger King to being a district manager. It's just like I said earlier, you keep going and going because God is going to open that door and somebody is going to give you a chance. But I'm not going to lie, you start off with craft, you end up doing something illegal. Majority of my jobs was not me, you know. I mean, it was me, but it wasn't me. You know?
Got it. Okay. All right. Do we have any callers on this phone line? I've been up here for a whole hour. Is there anybody on the phone lines that would like to say something? If you're pressing one or something, switchboard, could you let me know something? So you stayed in Baltimore the whole time, and you started the whole ballroom. I mean, well, you helped, I guess, contribute to everything that was going on in Baltimore. And that Revlon there is a really, really phenomenal. That's a dominated state by Revlons. And does a lot of that have a lot to do with you? I mean, you said they were there, but the way they so dominated there today, does a lot of that have a lot to do with you?
And that have everything to do with me. Stuart had already left. Roy. When I came home, the only Revlon to my knowledge that I'm going to remember was James and Roy, Deandra. And I remember me going to the Sound Factory bar like a week after I came home. I went to the Sound Factory bar, and the first person I saw there was Roy. And he came up to me, and his favorite thing is Pop Pop. He said, "What's up, Pop Pop?" I said, "Nothing." You know, he hugged me. He said, "Pop Pop, I waited until you came home, and I have to leave now." I said, "Leave?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to go to the House of Ebony, because there's nothing that you can do with that house." And that was in 1994. He said, "There's nothing that I can do with that house. The house is finished." And I said to Roy, I said, "Roy, you give me 2 weeks, and I'm going to show you what I'm capable of doing." And he looked in my eyes and said, "Papa, it's nothing. Nothing that you can do." And he left, you know, but that's the most, he's the most respectful one that I always respect for waiting until I came home, you know. And James represented the house to the fullest while I was in jail. 2 weeks went by, was Eric Lazar Ball. You know, the House of Mizrahi was known for one way. It's a house. A lot of houses, the Jordans was known for that. And what I did, I went to Baltimore, and I got my house together in Baltimore. And we came to that ball, and we decreed that motherfucking ball. And Roy stood in the back and just smiled and said, "Okay, Dad." You know, and the whole ballroom was shocked. Because the Revlons came out there and we won everything we want. You know, the Mizrahis and the Jordans is known for one raise the house, and we decreed them that night. And, you know, for 3 years straight in a row, we won House of the Year. You know, we won one raise the house, and we won a lot of house categories. We won a lot of single categories at the Wars Ball and all that. You know, and I would have to say, I think that's when Stuart really got up off of me, was when he left and he saw my talent and he saw what I'm capable of doing, you know. And I would have to say, older Revlon, the loyal ones stayed there, you know, Chris, Terry, Garnett, the Baltimore chapter stayed there. And that's why whenever there's anything concerning cash, no matter where I live, I'm going to Baltimore. And anybody knows, it's just like when the collection board was on and everybody kept saying, "No, Tony is up to something." Anyone know, if they see me with Canera and Garnett, that means that we winning whatever we coming in, and we coming into that ball for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, hold up. I want to support. You have had callers. I guess there was a down function with my computer, and I wasn't able to receive the numbers that was coming on. So I want to first apologize to everybody that's on the phone line. If you did press 1 and I did not get it, I truly apologize for that. I'm sitting here looking, and I didn't see anything coming across. So I'm so sorry. And I'm going to stop right now and give you guys an opportunity. Kelly, if you're listening, if you can come on and you save those numbers so that these guys will have, I don't want no one to feel that they were just completely paid. That's not what happened. There's a down function over here with this computer. So if you're on the phone line and you want to press 1, Kelly, if you send a number, please feel free to interrupt, because I would like the homage to be paid to Tony that's supposed to. And I apologize to you, too, because I did not see any numbers coming across my system. So I truly apologize.
318 517, you're live on the air. 318-517, you're live on the air. Okay, I guess not. 908-374, you're live on the air.
Hi, my question is with Tony Revlon. How do you feel about your house being called a starter house now, even though it's not, in my opinion? Some people feel like it's a starter house, like you start out as a virgin or whatever. And my second question for you is, do you feel like Revlon is going to live up to the hype of its old days, like with the old girls like Letitia and Danielle, and the days that you guys were like really, really storming?
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Tony, did you hear the question?
The only thing I heard was something about a starter house.
Repeat the question again, caller.
How do you feel about Revlon being called a starter house? Because now, do you feel like you guys are going to live up to your old name? Because some people be like, oh, Revlon, that house is for virgins, when it's not, in my opinion. Do you feel like you guys are going to live up to the name of, like, Danielle and Letitia and stuff like that? My house, the House of Revlon, we have the most true legends inside the House of Revlon. Every Revlon that's in my house is legend, and all of them deserve to be legends. A starter house, that's their opinion. A starter house shouldn't win $5,000. A starter house should not be in second place for $10,000.
Wait, did I answer your question, Carla?
Yes, you did. And have a good night. And I wish you best life and have a happy holiday.
Thank you for calling into the show. My next caller on my show would be 404-408. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show. Hello, 404-408. You're live on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is what's up, Tony? This is Stuart.
Hey, Stu.
Hi, Stu. Okay,
honey,
how are you?
Number,
welcome back to the show.
And my number is not just 404-408, honey. How about the number? Come on, you just say
408. Oh, no, because you don't want to tell everybody your number, Grandmother.
Oh, like
you don't
that.
Tell
I like
everybody.
That. I like that. I like that. I like that.
So you just do the first two numbers.
What's up, Stu? Stu?
You know, I'm right here with Miss Terry right now, honey. Chevy said, what's up, Tony? Wait.
Transpire, baby.
She just said. I just want to make a comment on as far with that, your last caller. How could the Revlons be a starter house?
Mm.
How would the Revlons be considered to be a starter house?
Take your time, whenever you're ready.
I don't know if that call is still on the line. I'm gonna add it from what I would gather. When they say a starter house, we mean people who start out as virgins or people who weren't, you know, major figures in the ballroom, and they become legends there.
Okay, but actually, a starter house would be a house that is starting out brand new. Period.
Roll caller, you just heard the pioneer icon Stewie. It would happen if you have long tell you what it was.
Get three of those chicken soft tacos.
Not three chicken
tacos. Do you have anything you would like to add or something you want to talk about, seeing
Tony? I had many moments with the with Tony. I had many moments with the Revlons, period. I had a privilege of actually, being in the Revlons and and running the House of Revlon with Tony. I just want to tell them, congratulations, keep doing what they gotta do because they are definitely one of the main houses that's out on the scene right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do a very good job, but just let's not forget, as far as Baltimore is concerned, don't forget those are stupid kids, Tony. Don't take credit for my kids, Tony.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't take credit for my kids, child.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in so much. I appreciate that. Get that for me. I don't know how to
do that. I love y'all, and I love y'all both, and y'all have a good, y'all have a good night.
I love you too, Stuart.
I love you too. Thank you for calling in. My next caller is... Yes.
I mean, I have to say this because that really, like, that last caller, like, really, like, a starter house. My house is iconic. We are iconic.
Okay.
We have brought many categories to this ballroom scene. So therefore, I'm not mad at her because she said that that's what other people saying. Every house has virgin members in it. So happen my virgin members is just more better than they virgin members. But then we also have sex family, we also have realness, we also have runway, we also have drags, we also have face children. We have the same thing that every other house has.
Thank you. You're going to have a lot of more questions because you got a lot of more callers. My next caller is 443-743. Thank you for welcome to the Sister to Sister for Real show with the pioneer Tony Revlon.
Yes, what's going on, everybody?
Hi, how are you? Who's this?
I'm doing good. Before I make a couple comments, to my grandfather, I want to commend you, Nicole, for doing a wonderful show every Wednesday. I look forward to this on my work break. So listen to
thank you.
You're welcome. You're doing a wonderful job. What's going on, Grandpa?
Who is this?
This is Antonio Aphrodite.
What's up, Antonio? What's up, yo?
Nothing much. Just got back in the house. I'm chilling. I just wanted to come online and make two comments to you. The first comment is, for the past 15 years that you and I have been knowing each other, you watched me grow to the young man that I am today, and I want to let you know that my most memorable moment that you and I had together was back in 2003 when you presented me my first Butch King Face of the Year when I was a Revlon. I was literally shaking in my boots when you presented me the award. I'm like, wow, my leader that I looked up for so long is giving me this award. That really meant a lot to me.
I would have to say this, Antonio, that it was well deserved, though.
Thank you
so much. And you know, I've been through hell and back with trying to make my name down here, and you was one of the persons that said, "Bitch, you keep on trying it. Fuck what everybody else say. You bring your effects, and you're going to do it." And I did it, and I thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you, Antonio. You don't have anything
else
to say? Okay, because we have lots of callers. The next caller is your son, the icon, James Icon. Hi,
hello.
Father. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. What's up?
Hey, James. I love you so much, James.
Oh, I love you, too. I love you, too.
I love you so much. And, I would have to say to you in front of all who's listening, I thank you for doing what you did while I was incarcerated.
Oh, well, you know, no problem, you know, because I remember joining the House of Revlon. Tony voted no for everybody out there. So I didn't see him. But it was a question that was posed to me at the time of the meeting, like, if there were five members left, would you leave? And I said no. And I always remembered that. And, you know, Tony always, even though he didn't see me, he extended, his hand to a lot of us and stuff like that. Like he had mentioned about craft and stuff. And, you know, me and my two amigos, you know, we was three the hard way at the time. You know, we was doing our thing. And not saying that he taught us how to do craft or whatever like that, but he kept us safe while we were doing something that we shouldn't have been doing. And he knew we wasn't supposed to be doing it, you know, like the time we in D.C. and stuff like that. Like, he's always extending a hand to us and always showed us kindness. So when that had went down, when he was incarcerated and Danielle allowed me and Stiffy to step up to the plate when everybody left, you know, I really appreciate that because that molded, you know, the birth of James Icon, you know, because it started out as James Revlon, and I appreciate that, you know.
Being
a good father, you know, and a friend.
James, thank you. But I would say this while James is on the phone, okay? And this is, and I know it's an interview on me, but this is going to be a prime example. James is in this house. He left his house. He left this house. He started his own. And as soon as he started his own, we was not beefing with each other. We was not beefing. We was not all. I never had to worry about James getting on no computer reading me, or I'm reading James. Friends are friends. And this is a product. I'm just saying this because the stuff I'm hearing that's going on with people leaving houses and all that, like, if you're
right.
friends, and no matter where Kelly go, she's still a part of you. And that couture is a part of you. All that arguing and all that stuff that's going on, y'all need to stop, because if you are real friends, like James, because James, no matter the icons, is a part of me, regardless.
Right.
That's still my blood. So therefore, whatever goes on with the icons, James call me, whatever decisions I make in my house, I call James.
He
and
has
then,
to call me. He has
you
to.
Know, you know, and that goes to Jasmine, that goes to Kelly, that goes to Andre, Jack, and all of y'all. Y'all are friends. This is only a house thing. This is supposed to be for fun. You know, people leave people's houses every day. People start their house. It's not like Kelly went to be another member, you know, and all of y'all was friends at one time. And me and James, can nothing come between us.
Amen.
You know, when he is one individual in this scene, that if I'm going off, he the first one that would come in and say, Father, stop, and I automatically stop.
Right. Thank you, Rock. Amen for that, for those people. Well, Father, do you have anything else to say to these people? Because this line is filled up to speak to the pioneer.
He didn't see me. He voted no. And
thank
told
you,
me, wait, and told me that was Dupree Ball with him and Damien won. Told me, ha, maybe one day you'll get one of these trophies, and snapped in my face and walked away.
Oh,
he voted no. He didn't see
me. But James, what I did, I made you struggle, and look at you today.
Yes.
You are an icon.
And that's why I came on here to say thank you, because I didn't see you neither. And I
I love you, Father. Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you for calling in. Our next caller is 843-814. Welcome to the Sister Surreal, to Sister For Real show with the Pioneers, Tony Revlon.
Yes, hello. This is Chris Revlon.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the icon, legendary Chris Revlon. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi. I would like to first say that a friend is one who walks in your life when the rest of the world walks out, and a friend is one who believes in you when you stop believing and cease to believe in yourself. I've known Tony for over 25, him and Stuart, for over 25 years, and Tony has always been loyal, has a commitment and a love, not only just for the House of Revlon, but just for the boardroom community as a whole. And when he was talking about being in that two-bedroom apartment with 12 people, it was 13 of us, because I was there almost like every night. You know, and I remember them chicken backs and home fries. I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. But, you know, what's so amazing about Tony, and we all have our shortcomings, is that, and I'm not only speaking about this because this man is my best friend, but I'm speaking because, you know, the House of Revlon, Tony is trying to take them to a whole nother level, just not mentally, but spiritually, but just communally. And because as of today, the House of Revlon has started its own nonprofit organization, and in North Charleston, South Carolina, we have a halfway house, which houses people who are from drug addiction that's coming out of inpatient, outpatient, and detox, and it's called the Glass House. And the nonprofit organization group is called the Glass House Project. And, Tony is trying to take, you know, us to different heights. And, you know, I just want him to know that, you know, on behalf of me, not, like I said, not just being his friend for over 20-something years, but just, you know, just knowing his just loyal commitment. And, you know, he always says to me that I messed up his life because I was the one that finally convinced him to be the father of the House of Revlon. But then as I was listening to the show, I heard him say that if he wasn't that he don't think that he would be here. You know,
yeah,
I had a purpose in that. And I'm just appreciative that he is still here and he's still standing and that he's learning from his faults and he's learning from his mistakes in life. And, you know, buddy, you know I love you.
Oh,
I love you too, Chris.
Oh, thank
you.
You
got me crying, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'd just like to add, you know, just that, you know, we just ask that people be, to help us out and to contribute and donate, you know, to this
this new project that we're trying to bring off the ground to, you know, not only help people who are suffering from drugs and alcohol and mental health, HIV and AIDS, but just to keep on doing things and make your purpose and your status of legendary and what, how, you know, they got 1,000 titles now, or whatever you want as a leadership, to take it more so from out of the boardroom and take it into your communities and start doing things, because that's where it matters. That's what the true legends do. A true legend leave their mark behind on life way after they're gone by leaving something for the next generation to grasp onto that something positive. And I thank you for letting me be able to share this.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing that. And you all heard it there, the nonprofit agency of Glasses, that I think everybody should look into that. And if you're in that area, you definitely should go over there to seek any help if you need it. My next caller that on the show, the next caller for the evening is 770-347. You live on the air on the Sister to Sister for Real show with the pioneer Tony Revlon.
Now
welcome you, the legendary, iconic, overall
father, Prodigy, Rodney. Oh. Real name. Rodney, you're live on the air. Good evening, guys.
How you doing, Father? How
What's are up, you? In the car, what's going on?
How are you feeling? Welcome to
I'm
the show.
I'm feeling good. Listening to the interview, enjoying myself, smiling. As I'm laying in the bed trying to go to sleep, but I couldn't until I got on this phone to, you know, say some words of, saying to my father.
Okay.
I wanna touch on two little things. Tony has been in my life. Everybody knows that's my father, one of his world famous kids. He has been there in the ballroom scene and out the ballroom scene. He has definitely been one of the instrumental people as far as branching out to different categories and not feeling what the ballroom community would say is equivalent to masculine or feminine, is just go out and have a good time and walk. If you can entertain, you can entertain. So that's how I've been able to get, you know, all these other categories under my belt and get other years and get the legendary status and all that stuff. It definitely was the work of my father influence on me.
Thanks,
and also, you know, and also in the real world, when I was traveling back and forth to Baltimore from D.C. every day, going to work, he was like, you know, you're putting a strain on yourself. You're worrying yourself. Why don't you just come up to Baltimore, you know, and stay with me for a little while you, you know, at work and do whatever. So I moved in with Tony instead of going back and forth from D.C. to Baltimore every day while I was working at Morgan. So I definitely want to thank him for that. And that's that been a long time ago. But
yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's definitely been an influential person.
I love
in my
you, Rodney.
Love you, Dad.
I do love you, Rodney, and do not forget the conversation we had the other day.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Rodney, for listening to the show, and thank you for calling in.
No problem. Good night, guys.
Good night. My next caller, we have a lot of callers on the phone line. If you're there, press 1 so we can get through these callers, because there's another whole half an interview left to go. My next caller is 318-517. You're live on the Sister to Sister for Real show. 318-517. You're live on the air. No, you're not? Okay, you're going. My next caller is the icon, Selvin Kool-Aid. You're live on the air.
Hey, Granddad.
Hey, what's up, son?
So, and let's make this clear. The very first grandchild that was allowed to call you Granddad. You know, I appreciate what I heard. Hey, Granddad. No, thanks to my nephews and my, you know, my brothers and sisters and all that. But, I really wanted to say to you, because it's something that we've never talked about, but you probably forgot. I can honestly say thank you for opening your doors to me when we were in Baltimore and Andre went upstairs and he told you that I was there. And you were like, where are you at? And he told you that I was downstairs in the car. I was like, well, he don't like me. And I remember clear as day you came downstairs in your pajamas, and you was like, what you doing sitting in that car? And I was like, well, you don't like me. And you was like, I don't like you because I don't know you. But I'm going to tell you this. As long as you're in Baltimore, as long as you're around Tony Revlon, you taking your ass upstairs. And you was like, the only thing I got to say to you is, when you come to my house, take off your shoes because my floors is painted black. And I said, okay. And from that day on, you have always opened your doors to me. And like I said, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And don't forget, you also forgot about Revlon. You was also one of the first people to have a grand march and had your house battle one another for grand march.
Yeah, that's true.
I gave
$1,000 out to them, too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was over. Okay, thank you. Do you have anything else to add? I have more callers on this line.
No, I just want to say...
I love you, Sylvan. I love you. And Sylvan, I will say this to you, and I said it to you the other night. You turn out to be an excellent leader. It is, like I told you the other night, I remember you from the pier, and I'm very proud of you, what you have accomplished. Okay, keep doing what you're doing.
I can honestly say that's from from you showing Andre taking his technique and me learning from Andre and now, my technique. So I'm just on that gonna say that I just pray to God that I hope that somebody in my, on my side has learned what I've learned, So there's only one way I see. So well, no shade, I forgot Nicole. So yeah, the torch has been passed.
Thank you. Love you too, mother. Thank you for calling into the show. My next caller is 704-965. Welcome to the Sister for Real show.
Hello.
Yes, this is 704-965.
Yes, it is. Hello, Dan. This is Dominique Revlon.
Hey, Dominique.
Hi, Dominique.
Hey, how's everybody doing? I don't know, I was just listening to, I came in on the tail end of it because I was doing some paperwork and stuff like that, but I just basically wanted to say how much of a pleasure it has been and an experience it has been of being in the House of Revlon. we actually had some history, never really directly with myself, but, there were some situations where former house that I was in had issues with Revlons, et cetera, pardon my dog in the background, but... I've always heard stories about, Father Tony, he's this, he's that, he's a mean man, everybody's scared of him, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just glad that I got a chance to know him on a more personal level. And I just want to thank you, Father, for all of your insight, our conversations, and all that.
I love you, too. I love you, Dominique, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Dominique, for coming on the show. Thank you. You have a good night. My next caller is 832-971. You're live on the Sister to Sister for Real show.
Hey, what's up, Kelly? How you doing? This is Father Darryl Revlon from...
Darryl Revlon, this is Nicole, Mother Karn.
Nicole, I'm sorry. I do apologize. I just wanted to ask my brother Tony real quick. Actually, everybody, the entire Texas, but the majority of the Texas chapter is here listening to the show. Everybody want to say hi to Tony and Nicole.
Oh my God! Hello. Thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. We definitely wanted to make sure we give a shout out. The question that I want to ask my brother today with everything that he's accomplished in his regular life, ballroom life, being an icon, being a father because he has kids, fathering so many people and fathering so many people outside of fathering Revlons, he's fathered so many other people and have made them leaders, even in our ballroom scene today. What allows you to continue to have the drive that you have to see other people to be successful, even onto the point of sacrificing yourself?
Okay, I'm going to, Darryl, I love you first. What I would say this, that what happened this year with me and Jack, and when I came out, that just made me stronger. That just made me want to prove to this new generation what I'm capable of doing inside the ballroom scene. I started walking more. That just comes from my heart. The love I have for this ballroom scene comes from my heart. I have spent more time, and this is some real stuff of what I'm going to say, I spent more time in this ballroom scene than I spend with my own children. You know, I gave this ballroom scene my life. I gave it my life. I did whatever I had to do inside this ballroom scene. I did whatever I had to do for the House of Revlon. I did what I had to do for other houses, you know. And that's just me. When I know the meaning of a friend, and I'm just everybody's friend, you know. People will hurt me before I hurt them.
Mm.
I just wanted to say from the Texas chapter of the House of Revlon and the Gulf Coast Region Alliance, we just want to say we love you and thank you for the inspiration that you've given me that I've been able to give to all of these kids. We have almost 20 kids here. We're having rehearsal because we have a ball this weekend, and we're representing Revlon for Life. We do have Mother Angel coming down here to Texas for her first time to represent and walk as the mother of the House of Revlon. I just want to tell you, I love you, brother, and everybody.
We love you.
I love you too, Dale.
All right, love y'all. Thank you
so
very much.
Much.
Before we have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Wow, that was really over. My next caller is 443-208. You're live on the air with the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer Tony Revlon.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Father Tony. Hi, Kelly. This is Sierra Ebony.
Hi, Sierra.
Hi, Father Tony. You already know I love you so much. I respect your legacy.
You,
I respect your life. We've been friends, I would say, since like 2003. And even since then, even though I never was a Revlon, you were never mean to me. Even when I wasn't one of the realists or one of the fit girls, you were still fair. And I just respect you. And I want you to know that on behalf of Baltimore, we will always rep you. We will always speak your name. It don't matter what you do. You already know we are Team Tony for life. I love
I
you.
Know.
I love
I
the
know
show.
That.
And
thank you.
That's it. Good night.
Thank you, Sierra. Thank you so much for calling in.
I love
in.
You too, Sierra.
My next caller is the pioneer himself, the legendary Orwell Chanel. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show.
Hey, good evening. Hey, Tony, I just wanted to call in.
Hey,
I've been on the phone for 2 hours waiting to get through.
I apologize, already.
It's okay, but I had to come on and congratulate Tony on his 360. You know, because in life we make a lot of mistakes, and then we have to say, you know what, this is a journey where I have to start teaching. But in teaching, we also learn from our teachings. And, Tony, you've taught me so much in the last few months that we've been able to talk and everything. And I found a newfound respect for you, and I told you that before. There was a time that you and I would just see each other at the functions, and you would give me that eye to the floor, like, okay, bitch, I know you're here. And I would always just look at you because of the simple fact that, you know, I've always watched you from a distance. And what people see on the outside is not the Tony that's on the inside.
Amen.
And a lot of times people build a wall because they need to make sure that they don't allow anyone to hurt them again, because you've been hurt so many times that your guards are always up because you don't know who you can trust. But once you find that person or those persons that you can trust, you give your all. And I have seen that time and time again. My message to you is, if you ever wondered what someone would say when they come to your eulogy, you don't have to wonder anymore, because the praises and the accolations are being given to you now. The expression, give me my roses before I die so I can smell them, you're smelling them right now. People
Amen.
Love you. People appreciate
you. Oh, you got me crying.
Oh. And it's real.
I mean, what you just said, and this is to everyone that's listening, for and what he's saying is so true. We have never, like, been, like, we always, like, at each other's neck. And that, what you're saying, really is touching me, and I love you. The love, I have always loved you, always, you know, but we always have our own, our certain size, you know, but I will always say this, I would never, and I said it to you back then, I would never let nobody hurt you.
And I believe that we have a found respect for each other. And let me say this to the person who said that Revlon's was a starter house. If your house name rolled in the credits of Paris is Burning, there's nothing starter about you. You're a blueprint.
Well,
thank you all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank
because
you.
Only the houses that were significant when Paris is Burning came out were in the credits. And the House of Revlon was in the credits. Am I not mistaken?
No, you're not.
You're right.
You're right.
And
well,
you know
Danielle,
the blueprint. Danielle.
Well, I thank you all. I really, 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 I mean, for you, because you are the generation before me. And what you said, I appreciate it. And it touched
and enjoy
me.
Your
and I thank you. I really
may
thank
God
you.
May God continue
all.
To bless you and stay strong, okay? Everyone have a great evening. Now I can go to bed. I finally talked to Tony. Good night.
That was the pious. Good night, RR. That's the pioneer icon, RR. Chanel. Oh, well, Chanel. My next caller, if you're on the phone line, you're going to have to press 1 because these are a lot of callers. Get your life, Grandpa. But the next caller is 347-432. You're live on the air on the Sister to Sister For Real show. Speak.
Hey, Grandfather. Hello. Hey, Nicole. Hello, everybody. It wouldn't have been right if I did not come on the show and applaud you. And I just wanted to say, from my long talks and, you know, you being there when my mom went home last year to glory, I thank you for all that. And just thank you for seeing my vision and just teaching me everything. Everything. And you never once changed on me because I was from the bloodline of Revlon, and the bloodline still runs through my bones of Revlon.
Amen.
And the thing I want to say to you, this is not going to be much. Of course, I'm going to speak your name and beyond, but I'm also going to say, because of you and others, I am today, and I thank you, and I love you so much. Good night.
Yeah, I love you too, Kiana.
Yes, Keith. Thank you, Kiana. Thank you for calling in. My next caller is 703-920. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer, Tony Revlon. Hello, 703-920. I guess not. My next caller is 585-905. Welcome to Sister For Real show with the pioneer, Tony Revlon.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, welcome to
hey,
the show.
Hey, Mariah.
This is Mariah.
Hi, Mariah, my sister. I love you so dearly.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. And I had to call in. I just got finished doing homework, but I'm staying up for my father. What I wanted to say really quickly is for my generation, my father's generation, our generation, and those before, as we journey and find out who our friends are, you will find out who your friend is when you know that you speak their name into existence when that person is not around.
Amen.
This man that's on this phone have came and brung me out of a life in which I cannot explain. I was weighing like 40 pounds, having tuberculosis, almost dying on my deathbed, and a man in which not your blood come and deliver you and give you any type of message or relief, that is the man I knew from day one who I considered my father. So what I have done over the years is only try to incorporate the same thing that this man has done for me when I incorporate and bring new talent and new members to this house. I make sure that they know what a friend is compared to what a house is and what everything artificial is supposed to be. So, Tony, I want to tell you, as your daughter, I love you with all my heart, and you already know I will take this house until the last strength in me is gone. I love you dearly, and I will definitely talk to you soon.
I love you too.
Love you more.
I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to come back to the next caller. Thank you, Mariah, for calling in. Switchwood, could you play the next commercial? Stay right there, Grandpa. Let me do it.
The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, icon Jack Mizrahi and icon Jay Manolo Blahnik. DJ, legendary Von Allure. Grand Prize, $1,500. Push Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini Grand Prize. $500. Push Queen Vogue Fest. Mini Grand Prize. $500. Push Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Push Queen Segment. One trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Open to all, team frequent. One trophy, one cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012, Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we are here live with the pioneer icon, Tony Revlon, talking about his life then, his life in between, and his life now, and it continuing. Mariah, I want to just say thank you so much for coming on the show, and just I was not expecting what you gave. And in the event to that, I must add, before I go to the next call, I know you're there, I must add that that's very true, and that for me, when I came to Baltimore and no one was speaking to me, and I moved to Windermere where you were right across the platform, and you embraced me. I've known you since I was young. You know, you were always stern, and you embraced me, but the most, and embraced everything that went on with me and everything around me, but the most important thing that showed me that you were really the grandfather of all grandfathers, and I thank James for having a father like that, because I've never been confused with mothers and fathers. They are the same since I was a child. You embraced my own biological child. You fed her. You would meet me at Burger King. You would take extra food. You would take extra money, and you would give it to me. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. And me and Keontae loves you so much.
I love you too.
How you just treated my baby was so amazing, and I greatly appreciate it. And I was going with someone from your field, and you were on my side. And I appreciate that, and I thank you very much. Okay, the next caller, thank you. If you're on the phone line and you have some homage or a professional comment, please press 1 now, because after the next few callers, I must go back into the interview because I have some more questions I want to ask the pioneer. The next caller is 703-920. You're live. Welcome to the Sister For Real Show with the pioneer, Tony Revlon.
Hello, Father.
What's up, Father Tony?
Hey, Daddy.
This is Charles Anaya Antonio from the D.C. chapter.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, yo?
And we were just calling to say we love you, and we were just listening to the show.
Yeah, I love you, too.
And we'll see you this weekend.
I'll see you on Saturday.
You'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. You got chapters all over. Oh, my God. We got to get in this interview. Give my girlfriend her life. My next caller is the girlfriend of the show, the sister who gets it all started. She's here. I invited her. London.
Hey, London.
Hello. This is London Raspberry.
Hi, London. Thank you for coming on. I didn't think you was going to come. It was getting late.
Yeah, I just had a little cocktail. I just want to say, all the jokes aside, Tony, you're like the only one I like really respect.
Wow.
From what you do in the ballroom scene, all the shit that you took and what you still continue to do in the ballroom scene. If there were more girls like you, maybe I wouldn't have to come on this show and read them. I just want to say, may God continue to bless you, and Nicola, I love your show, and you have a good night.
No, London, don't go nowhere, but let me say something to you. But you didn't say all of that because I listen to the show. You're very mean, you know, for you. I appreciate it. I really appreciate the comments you just gave me. I thank you. I really, really thank you, London.
No, thank you.
Thank you, London. Thank you, London Bridges. Thank you so much for coming on the show. My next caller is 252-48-458. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real Show with the pioneer, Tony Revlon.
What's up, Dad? This is Juju.
Hey, Juju.
Hi, Juju. What's up,
Nicole? I was just calling. I know I tell you this all the time. We have
We talk every day, but I just want to thank you for coming into my life. You really mean a lot to me. You've taught me so much dealing with my life and within the scene. I say all the time, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for you dealing with a lot of things within my life. I look at you like you're like my real father. Like, we've really grown close over the last 4 years, and I just want to say thank you for not giving up on me and teaching me and molding me into being the man that I am now. The man
I
want to go on to do. I love you too, Dad. All right, Nicole, y'all have a nice night.
Thank you for calling in the show. My next caller that's on the phone lines, it's not a number, it's Eric. Welcome to Sister For Real show.
Hey, what's up, Nicole?
Hey, how are you?
And what's up, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather?
Eric.
I love you. How are you doing?
I love you. I love you. I love you. And everything I said, you are my friend from the beginning to the end. You
yes,
always by my side.
Yes, we've been good friends for a long time. And, I mean, even after we weren't together, we were still calling each other about our relationships and crying on the phone and just showing emotion to each other about the relationship we were in and getting, you know, advice on the issues or whatever. But I just want to say I think that you're doing a great thing with your house and everything. You've been doing it for a long time, and I see that everybody – even if not in House of Revlon, that loves you, and that's a great thing.
Thanks, Eric. I love you. I love you so much, so much.
I love you, too. And I'm always here whenever you
I know. Need. I know that.
Okay. So I'm getting ready to go to bed. So I'll talk to you
all right.
Later.
All right. Bye-bye. Nicole. Hello?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Nicole, let me, before you get to the next caller, let me say this to you, okay? Besides my house of Revlon, I will say this. I love you, Nicole. When all that stuff went on, you are, and to my knowledge, you and Lisa, Prodigy, was the only one that stood by my side on this show. And I love you for that, and you mean so much to me, Nicole, because I'm going to keep it real. If it wasn't your show, I would not give my life to these people.
And then
I'm being real. And just like you said, Whitney Houston, my favorite song, I wasn't built to break. And
yes,
thing,
I look to you. Yes,
you
I
know, and no, I'm keeping it real, Nicole, and I thank
mm-hmm.
you. And I'm gonna, you know, the callers can wait because I mean they have a lot of questions to ask me and the love and all that. But I'm a type of person that I know I have a temper. And everybody have a temper, you know, but mine is worse. And yes, Tony, do go off and all of that. But my heart
Amen.
Is so real.
Mm-hmm.
My love that I give to people is real. I don't say I love someone and don't mean it. You know, no matter what happened during that incident with Kelly, with Jack, with Andre, with Jasmine, and all of the negative people that was on the show, I'm still here for them. And I heard all of it. And I speak to these people every day, and I just don't hold grudges. That's just not me, because I'm going to be blessed regardless. You know, and I show love to everybody. To everybody, you know. And I'm going to also say this to all the houses out there, to all the new generation, mainly the new generation. Learn from me. I tell my children, I tell my gay children, my grandchildren, my nephews and nieces, I teach y'all because I don't want y'all to end up like me. I have spoke to a lot of new generations this generation this week, and I'm very proud of a lot of them, mainly from the House of Visu, some Prodigies, some blondics. You know, you are 19 to 20 years old, and I love to hear when you said your job in grad school. Y'all keep doing that. Do not allow the ballroom scene to take control of it, of you.
Yeah.
All right, because that's what I did. You know, and I mean, and I'm gonna keep giving my love. I'm gonna keep giving my love over and over. That's just me. You know, and anybody could call me and talk to me about anything. A friend, a leader, an icon, and a pioneer. If you talk to anyone and they get out, they are not a leader. They're not an icon. They're not a pioneer to me. There's nothing that no one could ever say that they talk to me about, and we are arguing, and I bring it out. So y'all take heed to all of the stuff that goes on this radio show, that goes on into balls. You pick your friends wisely. Because of the fact that all this stuff that's going on, I'm really upset. I'm really upset about it, but I'm gonna mind my business. Only thing I would have to say.
Not just yet.
Only thing I would have to say, and this is not being mean, what goes around comes around.
Comes around. And what goes up must come down. The callers that are on the phone line, I see your number, but you need to hold that pose. And anybody else needs to, y'all need to get in the queue. I have to go through these sectors of questions. I got three more, and I have to go through this one.
Wait, Kelly. Can I have the legendary Edward Mother to talk to the floor? Kelly?
Before you go into your questions, because I know that's going to be another 45 minutes.
No, it's not.
I got to get my piece in, okay, baby? I got to get my piece in because your questions be forever. I want to thank Tony for all that Tony has done for me and all my years of me being out, from me being the naughty little butch queen in drag, snatching my wig off at the club this day, and the girls reading me down. And after all these years, Tony is the only one that I allow to still call me you whore. Nobody else can call. I will take a motherfucking bitch head off if they call me you whore. Tony is the only person in this scene that is allowed to call me that when he sees me. I want to thank him for being there and opening up his family house for me when my apartment burned down. I want to thank him for all the words that he has given me over the years. And every time he see me, he tells me, bitch, you are sitting and look like you went and got more work done. I want to thank him for being there and supporting me and my new venture in the House of Couture. I want to thank him for everything that he has done for this ballroom scene and that he will continue to do for this ballroom scene as long as God provide him the outlet to do it, okay? Because at the end of the day, everybody thinks that we're here and that everybody that's in the scene is letting us do what we do in this scene. No, God is letting us use this outlet to voice our opinions and our talent in the scene. So, Tony, I want to thank you for that, and I want to let you know that the House of Couture speaks your name, and trust and believe that everything is going to work out, and if it don't work out, that means God wasn't meant for it to work out. And if the girls can't see the glory that be of all the things that we are going to do with this House of Couture, then I guess it wasn't meant. And if it's meant to work out, God will make it work, and if it don't work, it's okay, because at the end of the day, if they was my friend when I was there and they not my friend now that I'm gone, then they was never my friend to begin with. And I thank you. And I speak the icon, Tony Revlon, Pioneer Father's name, on behalf of myself and the House of Couture.
I thank you, Kelly. Kelly, I'm gonna say this. Regardless of what happened, I know what you just spoke was from the heart.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. 149%.
149.
I like that. I got to get into that. I like that. And I like this other
Nicole,
thing that you...
Nicole.
Yeah.
Nicole, I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to say this. Let me say something else, okay?
Okay.
And I hope if any Mizrahi's listening, whoever underneath Jack or anything like this, and if Jack is listening. Jack, you are one of the top icons also, okay? And this is to Jack, which is my brother, and I love him down. Andre, which is my son. Y'all and the Couture have to control what's going on. And I will say this to Jack. Nobody on this scene should have done, nothing should have hurt you more than what me and you went through. And me and you are friends till this day. Okay, because if something happened to any one of them, if something would happen to you or to Andre, y'all are going to regret not speaking. So Jack and the Mizrahis and the Couture, y'all say y'all love me so much and y'all respect me so much. One thing y'all all know about me, I'm very peaceful and I make peace. And that's what y'all need to do right now. And that goes to my sister Susan. All of y'all need to stop all of this because life is really too short.
Amen.
And y'all get on here talking about this disease, this someone, this one is not circumcised, people putting it on Facebook. Facebook is, I mean, just come on, y'all. I'm keeping it real, y'all. Y'all need to stop all of this. Y'all need to stop all this. If y'all was friends, y'all was friends. And Jack, and I'm saying it, and I hope the Mizrahis is listening. Jack, I love you, and I know you love me. So whatever's going on with you and Kelly, stop it. Just leave it alone. This battle on the floor. You know, it's just like you said in South North Carolina. I never walk faith. Well, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to battle for faith, faith and performance. Whatever you want to do. But me and you are friends. We've been friends just like you and everybody else you beefing with. You know, Kelly loves you, and I know that you love Kelly. You know, Kelly loves Andre just like Andre loves Kelly. Kelly loves the Mizrahis, and the Mizrahis love Kelly. Stop going by he say, she say stuff, and just stop it and just leave it alone, yo.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the word. That I hope that message was sent out across the boards and the airlines. And whoever isn't on the phone, you can pass the message to it because this is a very important message. We have to beat this whole system with love. That's the only way it's going to happen, just with love. And wherever we want to take out, we got to take it out on the floor. But speaking of the floor, I'll pick up the next callers after about 15 minutes into this. So if you are there, please don't go nowhere. You Revlons, y'all don't go nowhere. I just have to go into this little part. On the floor, I've asked the question, and now I want to ask you this question, Tony. Have you ever been in drags at a ball?
Hell no.
You've never done drags at a ball or for a category or grand prize?
What in hell? No.
No.
Why are you doing that? Hell no. I'm not cutting my feet for nothing.
Okay.
Hell no. I got him.
Okay.
No.
I see, but so you basically will be one of the only, well, I don't know if there are other fathers that haven't, but
the only father from back in the day in my generation, yes.
Uh-huh.
All of them, like Stuart said that we had a board that they had to switch. I'm the only father that did not switch.
Okay. I did a sector on my show, and I'm pretty sure your kids and stuff listen to speaking about the mothers and the different mothers. The mothers speak mainly about the mothers in the scene, and I wanted to ask you how do you feel about the mothers today, and what do you think about how different it was from yesterday?
Wow, you see. The difference between mom, this is my opinion. Back in the day when of me in 1985, you know, it was all about mothers. You know, we didn't go to our father. We was underneath our mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only ones I don't be around them because of the fact of that's just me. You know, but me just seeing how mothers are, I could say Tiana. I would say Andrew. I would say Nicole. I would say you too. I would say Kelly also. I haven't been around the mother of the House of Prodigy. Lady Blonde, like I've been around her. She's very motherly. I haven't been around Shay Shay. Shay Shay, Chanel. Trying to remember every mother. The August, Jamie is a mother. The other mothers, I don't know shit about them.
What do you think about the whole new term now of trophy mothers and mothers to the house? Like, it, was it all together back in your day? Where was it a trophy mother and a still mother? Or how do you feel about that separation?
The only trophy mother back in the day, and this is no shade to her, was Danielle. Every other mother, that's the reason why Danielle got demoted. Because she wasn't. Yeah. I'm thinking about work. Dethroned. She was only trophy mother. All Paris, Avis, and Corey, all of them was real motherly. And that's what the House of Revlon wanted, was a mother. And Danielle wasn't that mother. She was just a trophy mother. And that's when Stewart came into place. You know, so therefore, only I would say that it was about mothers, and mothers was being mothers. It wasn't about trophy mothers, but Danielle was the first trophy mother.
Okay. So we're moving into more of a controversial conversation, because this has been very controversial. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I know a lot of your hands are going to go up because of who you are and what I'm about to speak about, but I want to go into a little bit of a ballroom sector before I go into your incident. But you went to jail, you went through this, you've been in and out, you've been here, you played a prominent, your spot is solidified and everything. You have played a part of ballroom from basically back in the beginning, even though maybe 15 years before it was there, but you were there for those people. How do you feel, and does it upset you about how ballroom has changed? How different is it changed? Tell us a little about how you feel about the way the ballroom scene is now than it was yesterday.
I think the ballroom scene has done a whole 360. I think the ballroom scene today is horrible. It's all about politics. It's all about girlfriends. It's all about, oh, that's my aunt, that's my cousin, that's my nephew.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, that was the end of the question. That was it. You just think that it's just horrible. Okay.
Yeah, I think the ballroom scene is horrible. And I would have to say, I don't know how the ballroom scene is going to get back to it used to be, because I have heard many people's opinions. You know, I had one person that always, like, opinion stuck to me was Fred Chanel when he said we need to probably stop giving balls for 6 months. You know, you got so many people that just leave the ballroom scene. It's not that they want to leave. You know, we people in the ballroom scene push them out, you know, because of the disrespect that we give each other inside the ballroom scene.
Okay, so everybody on the phone lines, you listen to me and him, are very, very close. He calls my phone, I call his phone, so we have conversation. You and I was talking the other day, and I said to you that I think the 90s are the lost souls. I think that they are the legends, and the people that participated, they were not given what they should have been given. Why do you think that happened? When, you know, you never really told me that. Why do you think that they're the lost souls? Because the demon didn't come into the mid-2000s, and there were many people that have been along and have been around and that you have witnessed. And so I say that the 90s would be the lost souls. Those are the people who were forgotten about. And why do you think that happened?
Okay, Nicole, I'm gonna try my best to keep it real. I'm not because I just know how the ballroom scene are. I know how the gay community is. I'm not even gonna talk on that because of the fact one of my children said, "Tone, Dad, remember, you are having a ball." So I'm not gonna put no names out there. But the ballroom scene changed not because of the I'm just gonna leave that question. I'm just not gonna answer because once I start it, I'm gonna go deeper into
deeper,
things.
Deeper, deeper. Okay,
then,
so
and then I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings.
Well, I'm not looking to
like
have anybody's feelings hurt. Anybody on the phone line, I'm not looking. The opinion and what somebody that plays in your position is very important, and a lot of people would like that. I'm not wishing for names. I'm not looking to get anybody's name put out there. Or anything. I'm just basically surrounding it about your personal feeling about just ballroom because you play so much of a part of it. So I'm going to say this then, and I'll go into further our conversation. Would you just overall say that the demon and stuff that goes on today, because of some of the people who were forgotten about, the problem is communication? Is it safe to say that, because we were talking, I was saying that, you know, we've made the blueprint, me, you and I have discussed it, Fred had sent the application, and, you know, we're going through this whole thing about how to deem and the process, but people usually take it upon themselves and they go out and they do. Not that they can't, but they go out and they deem because they are people who are, some things are close to their heart, and they feel that this person deserves it. So is it safe to say, like I said to you the other night, that it's not the deeming that the problem is, it is the communication, that no one communicates with each other about it.
It's not even, I won't even say communication. What I will say, that everybody want power. It's power, that everyone feel that they have to have this power to deem someone. They have to have this power to do this. They have to have this power to say this. It's not about no communication because of the fact that when people calls me, like I communicate with everybody concerning demon and all. I call everybody. I do what I have to do. You know, it's just like Fred. I called my son Fred. I said, Fred, Fred brought up the application to me. That's communication. You know, I call all the icons. I got three people calling me this week concerning that they want to be legends. I call every icon that I can call, you know. Rodney, I even call the new icons, you know, and I got their opinion on it. You know, it's about certain people want power, and certain people, and some of our icons, we do communicate with each other. It's not about power. The demon and all of that, man, it wasn't like that, and it just, like you said, the 90s people. What happened to them? I mean, y'all deeming all these other people. What happened to the early 90s people that if they come to a ball, y'all just calling them out as Stephanie? Nobody have deemed this lady. You know? And then I'm going to keep it real. Angel. Didn't nobody deem Angel? You know? Letitia. You know, how do other people get icon before Letitia? You know, the disrespect that they was giving her when Letitia came back to the scene. And this lady has done so much inside the scene for the woman figures. You know, it's not, people do what they want to do, you know, and me personally, I haven't deemed nobody, and I've been in this scene longer than everybody that be at balls now. Probably three people that have been inside this scene longer than me. You know, that's still in this scene, which is RR, which is Stewart. Who else? That's it. And Larry, because Larry comes the balls too. Them three. Everyone else, I've been in here before them. You know, they do all this demon and all that. And you legendary. Wasn't like that before, you know. People just focus on being legendary, like, oh, I got to be legendary. 4 years, I'm legendary. It's just like me and Stewart talk. I called him about someone that wanted to be deemed. He said, Tony, why the fuck are you calling my phone? Has this person accomplished what you have accomplished inside this scene? No, Stewart. So what's the sense of calling? Or what's the sense of calling these icons? Stewart, reason I'm doing it? By rules and regulations. No, Tony, you don't have to do that. If they haven't accomplished and done what you have done, it's no need. It's no need. People taking these status when they know deep inside they really do not deserve it.
Okay. All right, so now I'm going to rumble all y'all. Does everybody would love to hear know about this? So is it safe to say that the way you have given your life to the ballroom community and all the controversy surrounding the legends and demons and the people that were forgotten about in the 90s and even in your house, and let's talk about mainly your house, is it safe to say that those were the feelings and the things that you had that came about that night in North Carolina?
The feeling, nope, I'm going to say no, Nicole. The feeling that I had was a disrespect to me. Okay, it was a disrespect to me. It had nothing to do with my house, had nothing to do with no demon, had nothing to do with whatever else you said. It was a disrespect to me. Okay, because if you're an icon, if you're a legend, and you're my friend, I'm not going to disrespect you. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. And one thing led to one thing, and then I gave you my back, my history from me being 13 years old. Okay. That was not the first fire I started. I set my uncle's house on fire. I set my high school on fire. And at that time, I'm not bragging about it. My friend Jack took me to another level, you know, and the thing I wanted was death. You know, when I saw blood, that was it. When I saw blood, only thing I thought about was me and Virginia getting sliced inside my face. That was that, you know. I went to jail. I gagged the next day. I gagged because
if you could do it different, what would you change about that night?
What I would change about that night, I would not have been there. Mm. I would not have went there because I was running late. If anybody remember, I was the last person to walk inside that ball, and I would not have went. But anything else that happened there, no, nope, 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 nope. Anyone that hit me with an object, anyone that disrespected me, it is what it is.
Okay, well, I've spoke with you a lot, and I've heard you say this a lot. A lot of people heard you spill that the House of Revlon is shaded a lot. Why do you think that happens?
A lot of people shade my house. It's not due to the fact of my house, Nicole. They can't take Tony Revlon. And they can't take Tony Revlon because of who I am, how stern I am, how real I am. I'm not an ass kisser. Never was an ass kisser. I come from Stewart. I come from Richard. I come from Tony. I come from Larry, Paris, Avis. We was an ass kisser. And honestly, I am that last Mahogan from them. It's me. And I'm not an ass kisser. So therefore, what they're going to do, they take it out on my house. They get back at me. You know, and I will say this. I do the same thing. They walk, and I know they're being shady to my house. I know this. You know, and they have been shady to my house for years. But it's just like James Carlin said to me, people forgot what Tony is capable of doing. People forgot. They took down me. No, you can't forget me. Why? Because I'm unforgettable. Danielle, you unforgettable. Anyone in my house that's legendary, unforgettable. James, a part of me, unforgettable. Andre, unforgettable. Roy, unforgettable. Sean, unforgettable. Nicole, unforgettable. I could go on and go on and go on,
okay.
You know, but, and it's coming from the unforgettable ones that's being shady. Look, I raise y'all to the best that I could raise y'all. You know, respect me, respect my house. Because I don't disrespect nobody's house. I don't disrespect y'all. You know, but my house deserves what they are, what we earn, and we're going to keep on going forward. We're going to keep moving forward. You can shave my house all you want. But since that collection ball, that whole dude, new generation, and people before this generation know what Tony and the House of Revlon is capable of doing. And that's the only, and Nicole, I'm going to say, I only came to that ball, the collection ball, to show the scene what I'm capable of doing because they forgot what the House of Revlon is capable of doing. So keep on shading us because we're going to keep on coming and keep on coming. I bring all my members to everybody ball. No matter how I sit on that panel and then I look here, I look there, y'all talking about, oh, no, don't pick that one. Oh, that's a Revlon. It's just like at the last Rumble ball towards my right, and I know that person, they already know, then pick a Revlon all night. They pick a Revlon all night. How you know it's Shay Nicole when you have a Revlon and you have a Mizrahi? Revlon get 6 votes, but then a Mizrahi get 1. You know it's Shay right then and there.
Right.
But, you know, it's all good. I teach my that they are not being shady to y'all. It's not y'all. They can't take Father Tony.
Okay. If you're on the phone line, I did tell you guys that y'all can begin to press 1 right now. I'm going to ask Father Tony this question. If you have to give 3 people the accolade that you get, that you stand in as being a father, as being loving and caring, as always coming to the aid of people all around, not just in your own house, who would the 3 names, the fathers of today, be?
The fathers of the day to be. That remind me of me?
Yes, that do. That brings it like you. That love, that protects their house, that is very loyal, that just basically an offspring. Who would the 3, it probably would be your children, but what would 3 would be the fathers of the year like you, of the century like you?
Okay, I don't put Andre Martins. I feel Andre is with me. I would have to say Man Prodigy. I would have to say James Icon. Do I have to only name 3? Can I name 4?
You can name 4. You can name 4.
James, Man, Jay. Kenny and Fred.
Kenny and Fred. Okay, well,
and
we're going to take, if you're on the phone
and
line.
James Conn counts with me, correct?
Yes, that will be counting with you, yes.
Yeah, okay. I would say Man, James, Jay, Kenny, and Fred.
Okay.
But I speak to James all the time, and man just stood down. I just talk botany, all of them is my gay son, so I teach them well.
Okay. Well, we're about to take a commercial break. If you're on the phone lines and you have anything to say for our last commercial break and you would like to pay homage, give a statement or comment, definitely feel free to come in. We're going to be winding down. It's 1:45. So definitely feel free to press 1 and come on the line. Commercial break. Stay right there, Grandpa.
Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2. February 18th, 2012. Youngstown State University, Beagley Center, Youngstown, Ohio. Commentators for the evening, legendary Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy and Gasway Derion. $25 all night. Doors open at 10. Legend Mrs. Dodge at 12:30. Guest list closes at midnight. Cash category. Grand prize. Open to all Vogue performers. $750. Bring a gift or a $10 pot. Open to all runway. $250. Femme Queen Realness. $150. Butch Queen and Drag Realness. The Transformation. $100. Open to all Thug Realness. 4 trophies. 1 cash award. $100. Open to all Sex Sirens. 4 trophies, 1 cash award, $100. Virgin Vogue, $50. The Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2, February 18th, 2012. See you there.
Girl.
I want to ask you, I don't want to answer. I don't want, I want to want them to ask me questions.
If somebody's on the phone line and they want you to get and ask the question, tell them to call in and they can ask the question if I didn't ask something that y'all want to hear. Anybody that is listening to the show tonight, I'm sitting here with the pioneer icon Tony Revlon. This story is as long as the time we got. If you think that there's a question or something that I missed or he didn't say, feel free, press 1, send it over there to Kelly. She definitely will send it to me or even come on herself. Just feel free to. I want everybody to feel a part. So, you know, don't be shy. You don't have to tell who you are. Just come and you ask. So we got a couple of callers. My next caller is 862-215. Welcome to the Sisters to Sister for Real show with the pioneer, icon, legend, Tony Revlon.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Father. This is Claudia Milan.
Hi, Claudia. How are you?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
I just called to pay my respects because not too many people know that 13 years ago, this man said to me, you're a little fucking drag queen. And I was in Baltimore. This man took me. I don't know if you know about Spruce Street in Philadelphia, Nicole. But this man took me to Center City and got my first, what I would say, plastic surgery done.
Oh, wow.
And told me, I'll never forget you. And I love you. You know what I'm talking about. And it's so funny. And I'm sitting here listening to the whole thing and even to the incident that happened in Virginia, because when that incident happened, this man bled all over me. He was like the first, when the incident happened, he like bled all over me. And I remember that, like, so vividly. He felt like he actually passed out in my arms. And I guess that's what inspired me to go into the medical field after all. But this man has done a lot for me. And I just want to call and let him know that I love him. And
I love you,
you
too,
Claudia. You know, I don't get out that much anymore because I work a lot now, so I don't really deal with the scene. And it's a lot to do with, like you said, the shade and, you know, people being forgotten and stuff like that. But, I just had to call.
That's
another one that
people pay no mind. She's been in the scene over a decade.
And you know, I apologize to all the people that is in the scene, everybody that didn't get legend after me. I apologize to everybody in that. In my heart, for me, and in my mind, Claudia, you're not forgotten. And I remember everybody, and if I have anything to do with it, and he can tell you on his phone, like himself, your name will be brought to the situation. So, you know, for all of you people that feel forgotten, I, from my heart, apologize, and I will try my best to make a difference.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's not even about that anymore. I'm so beyond that now because, like I said, and it's also I want to say that because of Tony, because he's the one that actually got me up out of Baltimore. He said, you need to go back to school. I left Baltimore and entered into Norfolk State University, and it's so ironic because the week I entered into school, he followed me to Virginia and moved right to Newport News.
Yeah, sure did.
And so it was just so crazy. But I just had to call and just, Tony, I'm going to hit you up on Facebook or whatever, give you my new number and everything. But I love you, and I haven't forgotten
about you. I love you too, Nicole.
Claudia.
I love you too. Claudia.
Thank you so much, Claudia. We have so many callers on the phone line, so we're going to have to make it short because we got out 10 minutes to go. My next caller is 410-215. You're on the Sister to Sister for Real show.
Hey, what's up, Tony?
What's up, Dwayne?
How you doing? What's up, Nicole?
I'm all right.
Hi, Doodle. Yeah. How's everything?
You tried it. Tony, I just want to say, you know, I love you. You know, you've been my father for a long time. And, you know, when I came out, I was very, very young. And you did something that I think a lot of people in this scene that don't do. You really took time to care for me and watch out for me when I was young. You know, this man, when I was younger, and I came out, I was in high school. This man made sure if I went to a ball on a Sunday, that I was home in time enough to go to school on Monday. And that was, you know, coming from New York back to Baltimore. And not all parents or people in the scene would do that for somebody. You know, this man also made sure that all these little witch queens that, you know, try to, you know, get these young kids when they come out to sleep with them and all that, this man made sure that none of that happened. So, Tony, you know, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate everything you did for me.
Thank you.
Thank
Joanne.
You. Thank you so much, Doodle, for listening to the show. I appreciate you. You know I love you. You know I love him. My next caller, yeah, we gotta speed it up, y'all. My next caller is, I see it, don't play me. The next caller is 916-342. You live on the Sister For Real show. 916-342, you live on the air. That caller is gone. My next caller is 757-582. You live on the Sister For Real show.
Hi, Danny.
Hey, Amaya.
How are you? Hello, Nicole.
Hello, hi Maya, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Daddy, you know, I love you with all my heart. And I've been sitting here listening for about 2 hours. But I can call just to say much. I love you, and you know, that's all we're going to always be as one.
I love you too, Maya.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you're on the phone lines, we're counting down for my last final caller. She's going to be the last caller. But we're counting down. So feel free to press 1. I'm getting treated like Wendy Williams. Okay. Oh, well, my next caller is my favorite person in the ballroom scene, the icon. I don't care about who didn't deem her, bitch. Y'all don't know. The icon, the lady of the whole scene to me, the icon, Letitia Revlon.
Wow, thank you, Nicole.
I love you.
Thank you. I just wanted to say this for Tony. Oh, gosh, man. Dang. But that's just
okay.
A little insight of that we got. But I love you, Tony. And
Tisha, I'm ready to delete you.
I love you. And
I
just
love you, too.
I love you. That's all I have to say. And this, thank you for everything. Thank you for being by my side. And thank
always,
you.
Always, always, always. But
okay.
Nicole, we have to say the inside joke. Like, she came to my house last night, right? I said, I got to do the show tomorrow. And then I said, you know something? I said, I'm not going to do that motherfucking show. I said, the only way I'm going to do that show, you have to bring me some chitlins. That bitch brought me a bowl of chitlins.
Thank you, Letitia. See, I love her. You always got in the DC bag. Thank you so much. Thank you. Plus one, if you're on the phone lines, that is the icon female Fem Queen performance in my life, Letitia Revlon. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. The next caller is 410-355. You live on the air.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, Nicole. Who's this?
You keep calling me Lisa Prodigy, but I'm going to go back to 1995 on Lennox when you and Forgotten Names.
Oh, I know who this
about.
Is.
I know you do, but Forgotten Names that you talk about, Tiffany and Michael from Baltimore, and y'all would play Scrabble, and then we would all practice, and you would watch us, and then when I walked in Philly, you gave me, you know, she walks like a real runway model, and you gave me my 10 over your daughter, and I thought that was real cool, but I just called it. I was listening, and you're getting a lot of
How's everything with you?
It's fine. I can't complain, but
oh,
I want
I
you to
love
start calling
you.
Me Lisa Prodigy.
No. I know you are.
Well, why did you say Lisa Prodigy?
No, I just asked, was this Lisa?
No, that wasn't me.
No, when you said earlier, and you said it on the other show, when you're speaking about her, you're talking about me. That was me who called in and said that that's the same Tony that's always been Tony.
Oh,
and the only people
okay.
Who should be upset. That was me.
Oh,
trying to get no
oh
answer,
I didn't
no
know.
Really
you
point,
see, what happened was
Prodigy.
That they told me was Lisa Prodigy.
No, you should have known
love
that.
You. All right,
anyway,
okay, okay.
I just called in, but I'm going to keep listening, so put me back on hold, and y'all have a nice night.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, and they was the freak show. We gonna, and this, if you are calling after this person, y'all going to get in this line, too. So make room for them to get in real fast. Of course, we cannot end the show and wind down with
power.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got Queens responders up in this motherfucker tonight. They just came from war. They want to let you know a little something about where they come from.
Yes,
welcome to the
good.
Sister to Sister for Real Show, the CEO, the Jasmine Couture.
Hi.
I love your intro.
I know, I did that for you and Kelly on Uber looking crazy right now, just dancing. Tony, daddy, father, icon, pioneer, I just want to say to you that I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for everything that you have done for me, all the talks that we had, all the conversations, all the texts, everything that, you know, you have said to me, guided me, pushed me, you know, I thank you for all of that. No matter who people think I am or what I have, sometimes I still need that fatherly voice, that masculine voice, that opinion. And Tony has been that one person that I call. And he would listen. And he would say what he felt. And when all this drama went down, I said a lot of things on the radio. And I may have said them out of content. I may have said things that I shouldn't have said and I didn't mean. And I still, you know, I apologize to you, but I'm making it publicly that I do apologize, you know, for that as well. And that issue also has brought us closer. But I do apologize for that as well. And one good thing I love about this show is how no matter what people feel about this radio show, there's a million people that are listening to it right now. And the one good thing is that Tony is able to sit there and express himself and express his life. And the words and comments that I made back then, I would have never said if I didn't know half of the stuff that I knew tonight, that I have learned tonight. This opportunity that Nicole has given us, this show, is opening the doors for us to learn more about each and every individual. And Tony called me up after my interview and said, we have so much in common. Listen to mine. And I listened tonight, and I felt each and everything that you said. So, Tony, I'm telling you that I love you, and I thank you. And it's an honor to be a part of
you. I love
you,
too.
Jasmine, would you, being the CEO on the show, would you see if there are anybody else that would like to say bye before we get up out of here?
There actually isn't.
There isn't, okay.
I'm looking at the board.
You know what I want to say, Nicole and Jasmine? I'm glad, I'm happy that all them people called in, but I really wanted an interview with, you know, just y'all asking me, you asking me questions and me telling you, because there's so much more, you know, me being a child and all of that, you know.
I mean, we can always do a part two, you know, because that's you're very right. There was so much more I wanted to ask you about Baltimore. It was so much more I wanted to ask you about where you are today. So for everybody that is listening, and I know the lines are completely full and everything, I will do a part two segment starting into somebody else's interview. That is very possible because, yes, there's a lot of things that I have a whole two papers here still. So a lot of I didn't think that's why I tried to start it as early as possible, because I knew that your life story is very, very long and intimate. So for all you people out there, y'all all look forward for the ending of this interview. Next Wednesday I will get him to do this and we will do an hour long straight, so that you also and you people that are on the phone line that didn't or wasn't for you definitely can come and feel comfortable. This is a platform to get to know Tony and for Tony to be able to acknowledge you if he hadn't seen you, because if he's seen you, he has acknowledged you. So I just want all of y'all to know that I don't want to cut y'all short.